What I want to do today is I want to take a few moments today and I want to talk to you about a message that I have entitled Contentment. Turn to your neighbor and say, Contentment. Now, I want to give you the definition of what contentment is today. I see quite a few of you are giving one another that look that we talked about a little earlier. Go ahead, give them a look. He's going to talk about contentment today. Now, here's the definition of contentment. Here, and what I want you to do today throughout this message, I want you to really be honest with yourself and ask yourself, am I living a contented life? Or am I living another way? And we'll talk about that. I'll show you some kinfolks to contentment, and we really don't want any part of that. But here's what contentment means. It means satisfied. Now, I want you to think about our culture, think about your family, think about your own life today, and it means more than that. I'm going to get to that, but satisfied, quiet, easy in mind, here's a good one, not complaining, opposing, or demanding more, contentment. Let me give you that definition again. It means satisfied or quiet. In other words, quiet in your emotions, easy in mind, not complaining, opposing, or demanding more. Now, with that definition given to you today, I want to ask you a question, and it's not to reflect on us in a negative way, but I want to ask you, how are you doing regarding contentment? I want everybody, come on, young and old alike, let's be honest today, and let's ask ourselves that question. How are we doing when we understand the definition or what it means to be content? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says this, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. I believe I have a word for our culture today, not only for our culture, for me. Let me just tell you, I'll be very honest with you. I struggle with contentment at times, but the older I get, I'm learning. God knows what He's doing. In those situations where I don't want to be content and my emotions are saying you need to be everything but content right now. How many of you know that is prevalent in our world today? People are not content. But Paul said, and Paul had some real experience, and we'll read some verses that tell us this about being content. He said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. I want some great gain today. How about you? Now, listen, and as we say, I think I'm preaching to the choir today, but if there is ever a time or a season when discontentment is at an all-time high, it is the time and season that we are living in right now. For example, commercials. Thank God for DVR. I don't watch nearly as many commercials as I used to. I'm sorry for the advertisers. They're not getting my advertising dollars. But I turned on the television the other day, and Lawrence, our grandson, had been watching the Flintstones or some age-appropriate program, and I watched for a few moments, and there were so many commercials telling these kids what they needed, and I began to feel so sorry for parents today. But you know, it's not just the kids that are being, you know, confronted on every side with these commercials. I recommend a DVR. Get it? You pre-record your programs, and then you just jump right through. Yeah, I like that. I see someone out there helping. You just go right through the commercials. Bump, bump. I've got it where I can do it the three-speed thing real quick, and I'm back to the program real quick. It's wonderful, isn't it, Sid? It's wonderful. I don't know. Yeah, come see Sid. Sid can fix you up. But these commercials. And also, I was talking to someone a few weeks ago, and we were already talking about the Christmas season. Everybody go, ugh, Christmas season. Don't talk about that yet. We're not there. But we were talking about Christmas and what it has become. And, you know, you start reading all the newspaper ads, and then people are already stating, as they, I've already seen just a few, and they're saying, oh, my God, I'm on overload from all the commercials and all the demands. Parents, listen, I've got some advice for you. As we approach Christmas season, just do this. Move the TVs out of the house for a little while. Take them to the repair shop. Take them to Sid. Get them all fixed up. Just tell the kids they're broken. Well, that went over really well. But I want to tell you, folks, this thing that is feeding discontentment is everywhere. The ads and the commercials are all designed to cause enticement in you and I. Are we on the same page so far today? You know what it's called? It's called marketing. If you're in business, you need to be marketing your product. Good luck with me, though. No, I'm kind of only kidding about that. Even though I pride myself in the fact that I don't watch a lot of commercials, they still get through. And by the way, I've heard studies say that even though you're speeding through those, your subconscious mind still picks up those commercials. That's what I've heard. But it's all designed to cause us to want something that may be, in some cases, very good for us. But folks, let me just tell you, a lot of the things that we're being told we really need to have a better life, guess what? We really don't need them. Contentment. Here it is again. Satisfied. Quiet. Easy in mind. Not complaining. Oh, I tell you what. I've been watching the news a little bit today because I'm very interested in the presidential election and what's going on in our nation. But I want to tell you, you have to be very careful how much news you watch. There's a lot of complaining going on the television today. Is that not true? Are you with me today? It goes on to mean opposing or demanding more. See, I believe there's an undercurrent in our society that's causing a great deal of contentment that is demanding more. And really, sometimes we buy things we can't even afford, and we really don't even know why we do it. Because, folks, we are being influenced every day by the commercials, by the ads, by people around us who are telling us about the latest, greatest little gadget that they got and how wonderful it will make your life. Someone told us when all these new gadgets came out, they were going to make our lives easier. But I'm not sure that has been the result. There's a saying that maybe you have heard before. You don't hear it as much nowadays as at one time you did, but it goes this way. The grass is greener on the other side. Folks, let me just tell you, after about 30 years of being a minister of the gospel, let me tell you what I've learned from study of Scripture and from dealing with people for many, many years. This is not true. You know, maybe you've never heard of this, but the proverbial picture of the cow with their head stretched through the fence, reaching for the grass on the other side. See, and we're always enticed that there is something on the other side of life, or over in the other job, or over in the other relationship, or over sometimes in another church, or wherever, or whatever it may be, we're enticed. But let me tell you, most of the time, this is not true. Can I hear a big amen today? Here's some things I've learned. Will you listen to my counsel today? If we are not content on this side, we won't be happy or content on that side. I love you, beloved, but it is true. In other words, listen to me now. If we get the new job, if we weren't content with the old job, or we didn't learn how to be content in our stay there, I'm telling you what experience has taught me. We will not be content or happy with the new one. Not for long anyway, and not in most cases. Is that true? It's true. Now, unless, and there is an unless here, unless God is promoting you, unless God is moving you to a new position, then that makes it totally different. And God does do that. God does promote His people. He does give them new jobs. He does give them new careers. And that is a good thing when He does it. But the problem is when we, out of discontentment, try to go and bang the door of opportunity down and keep banging away at that door when God is saying, hey, I want you to learn some things right where you're at. I mean, you know that people are always, and by the way, I think the average person changes jobs now about every 5 to 7 years. I mean, you know people that are always changing. Let me just bring this to a spiritual truth. People who are always changing churches never grow, and they never mature, and they never grow up, and their life never really changes. They've got the same problems they had 30 years ago that they had, or today that they had 30 years ago. And we just don't realize it. This can affect us spiritually, a discontentment in our spirit. And let me tell you, the devil will come and he will entice that in us because, why? Because we have a fallen nature. Our fallen nature wants more, and it wants to be blessed more, and we sometimes think we need to be blessed in ways we really don't. So, Unless God ordains this, let me just tell you, let me save you some pain and some heartache and some expenses. Unless God ordains this or opens the door or blesses it, guess what? You will not be content in the next place. I can tell you're not convinced, so I'll just preach a little longer this morning. By the way, I've got another question for you. Who has greater contentment, a man with 7 children or a man with $7 million? Here's the answer. The man with 7 children because he doesn't want any more. I need to slow down today. I'm kind of in a fast mode today here. That took a little while to register. Some of you think, I don't know if I had $7 million. No, trust me. $7 million versus 7 children. If you're not content after 7 children, come to the altar and we're going to pray for you. I probably just made somebody mad, but come anyway and we'll pray for you about being mad. See, we often say these things, and I'm just giving you a general idea. And trust me, I know about these things. I'm just like you. But we often say to ourselves, if I just had that new job or that new car, if I were to tell you the kind of car, I don't think I need it. And I certainly don't have to have it to be happy, but if somebody wants to hand me the keys to a particular kind of car I like, I am going to take it, and it's going to cost a lot of money, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to go give it away to the poor or anything. I'm going to drive it and enjoy it. But there's a car, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I want to make sure when someone gives it to me, it's the right one, not one I conjured up. Oh, and some are saying, and I understand this, if I had a new girlfriend. And maybe that is the case on that one. Or if I had some new clothes, or a new church, or a new business, or just, you know, we kind of, you know, say, if I just had $1 million, everything would be fine. I would be content. Have you not observed and watched the programs of those who win the lottery? Have you watched them? It usually, in most cases, not always, causes destruction in the lives of people. Folks, listen to me. The things we sometimes want, God knows that we don't need because they're not the best for us. You have to have faith in God. You have to believe and trust in Him. Now, does that mean that we just kind of go through life and say, que sera, sera? No, let me tell you, you'll be in a problem if you do that too. You keep pursuing the will of God, and you keep pursuing the blessings of God, which He wants to give you in a contented manner. This will get a little clearer in just a moment. But I've learned with experience, my own experience, with working with people for a lot of years now, we really are kind of fooling ourselves to say, if I had that next thing, that next open door. And I'll say it again, that is true if God grants it. And I do understand right now I'm speaking to people who have been laid off and don't have jobs. And certainly, let's be practical. Someone that needs a job needs a job. I want to be very realistic. Let me tell you, what's happening in our economy is very real, and it is beginning to affect many, many people. So I don't want you to think I'm being insensitive and don't understand it. I'm talking about the person that's sitting, you know, well and still not happy. That's the American culture today. We are so blessed. So blessed, and still, we absolutely now have become, and I'll tell you, I have to be careful. We have become an entitlement society. I deserve. Hey, we don't deserve anything but clothing on our back, and it doesn't have to be a nice suit and a roof over our head and food to eat. That's what God has said in His Word that He'll provide for us. We've been blessed so long in this country. I tell you, I want people to go out of this country. I was talking to some young person the other day talking about how Buddhism is the new wave in America and meditation, how it's such a blessing. I said, well, let me tell you, my friend, why don't you travel to these nations where I've been, where Buddhism has been the ruling religion, and let's just walk around those cities for a little bit. Let's just walk around and see what kind of a blessing it really has been. We hadn't even gotten out of our country to realize just across the border. We're getting so angry with people across the border now. We've never taken a journey down to Mexico where they live in certain places in cardboard boxes. And yet, we've got this entitlement. I deserve it. The government owes me this. Folks, let me tell you something, and I really should stay off this. The government doesn't owe you or me anything. That was very, very weak. You realize we're about to have a cultural clash in this nation over entitlement, but really I want to put a biblical term to it. It's called discontentment. Discontentment. See, the problem or the root, and I want to bring this back to the message here. The problem or the root of discontentment is some things I really don't want to talk about. I thought about just kind of scratching these off the list, but you know, as I kind of went on in prayer this morning and realized, no, I need to talk about some of these things. Keep this in perspective today. I'm not talking about the blessing of God and the promotion of God. We need some people promoted to some high places. We need people to have their businesses promoted so we'll have some money to get the gospel out and do what God wants us to do. Amen? I want to tell you, the root a lot of times is discontentment, which really means lust. Lust. Let me just tell you, I was embarrassed to tell you the kind of car I want. If I were to get this car, I can tell you it has nothing to do with spiritual things at all. Nothing. I don't know that I'm lusting after it, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to turn it down. And if I were to come into a big wad of cash, I might just go buy one. But I don't think it's lust, but I'll tell you what, discontentment can be lust. And a lot of times, let me tell you what's at the root, the very root of discontentment that we don't identify very often. It's called pride. Pride says that I deserve more than I have. This is what has always amazed me. I made reference a minute ago about going down to Mexico to people who live in cardboard houses. It amazes me some of the poorest people in the world are some of the happiest people. You ought to go to a church service where they live in cardboard boxes. Everybody gets together. They don't even know what they're missing. They just get together and all they have is Jesus and their fellow brothers and sisters. That's all they have. And they are happy and discontent. And then you come back to America and you say, oh God, give me grace. One thing I like about China, and I love America. I'm passionate about America. If you preach any less than 2 hours, I'm telling you, you are in trouble. Discontentment. We deal with it in our society. Now, I've said this enough, but kind of to transition here, these things that we think we need only bring a temporary satisfaction. Let me just tell you, I'm sensing the Lord telling me to warn His people again about indebtedness. Folks, listen, unless you absolutely have no other option, and even then you better make sure it's God. Don't get in debt today. Don't do it. Listen to me, young people, listen to me. Don't buy the stuff that you think you need. Don't buy it, I'm telling you. Because at the root of it could be discontentment. If you've got the money to go pay cash for something and you want to, and it's not going to endanger your family or mess up your relationship with God, you go buy all you want to. But I'm telling you, you need to hear me today about what's going on in our society. It is real. And I think you know that. Now listen to this verse. Luke chapter 3 verse 14 says, likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? And so he said to them, do not intimidate any more, listen carefully, and accuse falsely. Be content with your wages. I'm telling you, this is almost the opposite of what some preachers would tell you need to be preaching right now. You better be preaching on giving and sowing and reaping, or there's not going to be any money in the kingdom. I'm telling you, God is saying that there's a season and a time where we need to be absolutely content with the wages we have. And like most times when I get up here and preach, there are a lot of things the Lord starts putting on my heart that I don't intend on saying. Folks, let me tell you, income is usually not our problem. Sometimes. Usually. It's our discontentment has caused us to get some things and buy some things that we really didn't need. Now we're saying, oh Lord, bless me now. Bless me now. You need to ask God before. And say, oh God, give me grace. Come on, you can get real with God and say, God, I'm really lusting after this motorcycle. I really want this thing or Corvette or whatever it is maybe that you want. Somebody said, hey, I just want some new clothes. God said He'd provide for us. He said He'd put clothing on us. He'd give us a roof. But I think sometimes we don't understand how God does these things. I believe there's a word for some of us here. Be content with the wages you have. Here's what Luke chapter 12 verses 15 through 21 says. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, then he said to them, be aware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life, listen to me, is not measured by how much you own. Then he told them a story. He said, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And he said to himself, what shall I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store up all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. Folks, when God says, wake up, and God says, you fool, in a story to illustrate, means we need to really listen up. Because earlier he said, don't be calling anybody a fool in anger. He said, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you've worked for? Yes, a person is a fool. This is Jesus saying this. To store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. America right now is forfeiting our heritage and our relationship with God in pursuit of more. We are discontented. We are filled with pride. We are filled with lust. And we're wanting more and more and more. When is enough enough? Let me tell you, when God's not pleased with a nation, nothing is enough. And you know what we need to be doing right now, beloved? We need to be developing a relationship with God. Not based upon this new ideology of there's multiple ways to get to God. Not these new ideologies that say I can be disconnected and call myself a Christian. No, not all this new stuff. According to this, we need to be doing it the way God said do it. God said, put me first and I will provide everything you need. Amen. Sure, in the natural, we could all look around right now and wipe our brow and be scared to death. But God has said to the believer, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I'm going to add all these things unto you. But what happens, we get this discontentment in our heart, we get filled with all these things, and then we realize, uh-oh, there's a problem here somewhere. I'm telling you, I made reference to this yesterday at the homegoing service. I just, you know, we live in a little bubble here in East Texas as Christians. Folks, listen, you get outside of this little bubble and you start talking to people about God and philosophy, let me tell you, people are totally confused about God. They are totally confused. We're kind of protected here. So sometimes we don't really realize what really is happening in our society. Our society is going crazy. People are confused. We really do think it's about the acquisition of more stuff and more stuff. And some of you are probably arguing with me at this point. Well, don't you understand I have to retire? Don't you? All I know is God said He's going to take care of you. Amen? It doesn't appear. And I can tell the Lord saying it's time to move on. Why don't I just move on here? How many of you know that contentment has a cousin called contention? There's always a cousin hanging out somewhere. Cousin so-and-so. Any of you got any cousins? Well, contentment has a cousin also. And let me give you a way to know if you are a content person. Now, we've already read the definition of content, but let me read it again. Satisfied. I'm preaching to myself today, by the way. Quiet, easy in mind, not complaining, opposing or demanding. Let me just tell you, a lot of the opposing and demanding and arguing that goes on among Christians and others, it's really just discontentment. That's all it is. Here's the cousin. Here's contention. Strife. Struggle. Come on, let me just talk to families right now. Let me talk to moms and dads in the household. You seen any strife or struggle? What about this? A violent effort to obtain something or to resist a person. And finally, it means to quarrel. Contentment has a cousin. Now, this can be internal and it can be even externally expressed. But here's the point. If there is contention within you or discontentedness in you or me, it affects us and it poisons us and it usually affects those around us. I heard somebody the other day say, man, we don't know what it is. We just don't get along anymore. Before we got married, we were great. Now we got married, and it's just like we fight and argue all the time. We're probably dealing with some discontentment in one another and in that relationship. Amen. I want to say it again. To be content doesn't mean that we are not dreaming and making plans for the future. I am still dreaming. I am still making plans for the future. I am still educating myself. I am still positioning myself for the future. And if God wants to come along and do something with it, He can. I'm not talking about being at ease in Zion. I'm talking about moving on with God's will in a peaceful, non-quarreling, non-combating way. Any parents hearing me right now? Now, Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. It's very quiet in here today. It's kind of scary. He said this, I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. He says, I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned, listen to this, how to be content with whatever I have. Here's what Paul said, one of the greatest Christians the world has ever known. He said in verse 12, I know how to live with almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty one, with plenty or little. Do you hear Paul? Paul is saying, I've learned the secret of being content. How many of you know there are seasons, listen to me, where you seem to flourish more in your life than you do other seasons? How many of you know that? There are seasons in your life where it appears that you are bearing more fruit. How many of you know there has to be a fall and a winter in your life for you to bear fruit in the next season? Can I hear an amen on that? And you may be in one of those. You may feel like you're not bearing any fruit. There are seasons in life. And there are times where you have more, and there are seasons where you have less. But Paul said, I have learned how to be content. Now, Paul tells us how to be content. What was the secret of his contentment? Verse 13 gives the answer. I pray you hear this. He said, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul realized that it was God who gives him the strength to be content. Now, I know that doesn't just give you goosebumps today. Well, I know that, Pastor. If you know it, why aren't you doing it? Why are we not taking our request to God? Why are we angry at the workplace? Why are we upset in our marriage if we're living in contentment? Because we're not taking it to the Lord. We're not learning what it means to live out of our spirits. And out of the power of the Spirit. Are you hearing me today? I have people from time to time come to me, and it's usually people who have been in our community and moved, and said, what are you doing in Quitman? What are you doing in Quitman? Because I am in the will of God in Quitman. And I am content in Quitman, Texas. And if God wants me to move, He'll open the door and He'll say, now you go through this door. And I will go through that door and I will be content through that. Had someone again the other evening say, what is it? Why are you in Quitman? I said, I'm supposed to. It's the will of God. How do you know it's the will of God? I said, because I'm at peace. I have contentment. Am I ever tempted to not be content in Quitman? Yeah, absolutely. Does the devil ever say, man, you better move on? There's greener grass out there. Does he? Oh, well, certainly. But I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I'm content in that. Amen? I think that's how we ought to live. At peace. Not always out trying to hustle up some new deal. Yeah, God promotes us. God moves us on and does other things. But hey, it's not always about promoting the next deal. You can say amen on that one. Folks, this world, listen to me, will never bring satisfaction to you and me. Never. You want to know why people right now seem so lost and so crazy and so confused? And the bad deal is some people are saying, God's this and God that. God doesn't have anything to do with this mess that's going on in this world. The mess and the problems that are going on in this world is not God. Don't even go there with me. It's humanity that is refusing God. And it just makes me sick that in this nation, we were birthed by God in this nation, and now we're saying, we don't need you. I'm going to tell you, and I got to get off this. I probably need to stop watching the news. America needs to get down on bended knee again and cry out on God. And let me just go ahead and tell you, we need some officials who believe in bowing their knee and getting before God so we can see our nation be healed again. Get mad at me if you want to. It's time to pray in America, and it's time for our leaders to pray in this country again. Amen? That's who I'm voting for, those who believe in prayer. And I'm not going to worry about the money part of it because we voted about money issues before. Yes, Lord, I will move on. MoveOn.org. I heard the Lord said, son, move on. Am I a little stirred? You bet I'm a little stirred because I love this country. And I cannot believe that we are forfeiting what we are forfeiting because people go to the polls and vote for a little what they thought was a little cash. It's time we go to God. It's time we stop being like this man building bigger things and trying to do this and that. It's time to go to God and build a relationship with Him. And the people of God need to hear that as well. It's time to build relationship. There's no buts, ands, or ifs to it. Because some of you, as you start arguing with me when I start preaching like this, you start arguing. You just don't understand. I understand we all need a relationship with God. Every one of us. That's what needs to be first and foremost in your life. Not hustling a dollar. Amen, it's true. I'll just amen myself and go home and preach this to Ginger and she'll give me a big amen and smile and we'll go hunt armadillos or something. We've been hunting armadillos lately. You may have to edit that out, Jim. Let me give you five things that Paul understood about contentment and how to draw strength from the Lord. And I'll make this very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 say this. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with the comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. Verse 7 says, we are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort of that God gives us. Here's five ways in which Paul understood and walked in contentment. Number one, he realized that there are some things in life that we don't have control over. For example, we can't control other people and how they respond to us. Try as you may, dear friend, you cannot control people. They will not be controlled, especially in this day and hour. You might as well give up on it. There are things in life that we cannot control. Number two, he realized there may be hardships that getting to our destination. For example, he went on in verse 8 and said, we think that you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. How many of you know Paul had some troubles in life? Folks, it is unrealistic. And this is tied into discontentment. It is unrealistic to think that you won't have problems in life. See, this idea is given to us all the time. Just one more thing in your life. One more little this, something else. A little of this, a little of that. And then suddenly, it'll be like someone waves a magic wand and you'll be so happy and everything will be right. Folks, listen to me. And I'm going to tell you what I told that young man Thursday night after I heard all this stuff and all this confusion about how there are multiple ways to go to God. Let me just say, I told him, without God, none of this will ever, ever work. And I said, we need to get centered in God. Amen? Number three, he remembered that he could trust God in every situation. Can we trust God right now? See, what's going on in our culture is really nothing new in world events. Verse 9 says, in fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raised the dead. The challenge right now in this war that is going on in humanity and in our culture today has to do with more than we care to admit at this point about our own self-destination, about working ourselves on selves through these problems. Folks, let me tell you, when you hit tough times, you need to know that you can rely on God. Go read about his life. I mean, this guy, for the gospel's sake, went through it. Go and read it sometime. And so he knew these things. Number four, he trusted Christ to deliver him from trouble. Verse 10, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. Beloved, can we trust God right now? Can we trust God to take care of us financially? Can we trust God to take care of our health? Can we trust God to take care of our children and all that pertains to us? No, I'm asking you, can we trust God? The Bible says, trust God and don't lean to your own understanding. I'm telling you, this is the unseen battle that is going on in our nation right now. And what I was going to say a minute ago, it is a spiritual battle. And I talked to this young man. I said, what you don't understand is Jesus said, see to it that nobody deceives you. This young man finally just grabbed his head at one point and says, I'm just so confused. I was raised as a Christian. I was raised in a good home, but my culture is saying this, and this is what they've said, and I'm just so confused. They said, I'm so confused sometimes I just want to check out. It's a spiritual battle that we are in, and it is real, and it is intensifying, and at the root of it, the enemy wants to mess with our sin nature, which can be discontented and not necessarily content in God. But let me tell you, and I finally, after a couple hours, I said, well, we've talked enough. You need to, young man, center yourself in the Word of God, because it is very obvious you are confused and you don't understand, and the war that is in you is your Christian faith versus the values of this culture now that is off base, really, really bad. Folks, listen, one of the things we need to be praying for now like never before, there is a cultural war going on, it's unseen, between the older and the younger generation. You don't see it as much in our community. You get in some of these other communities where there's all these philosophies, it's real. And people are confused. And we need to stand up and be praying like we never have and love people, encourage people, get in a small group and encourage one another. Number five, here's what Paul knew about God and about trusting God and about being content. He knew that God would never leave him. Here's what Hebrews 13:5 says. Listen. Don't love money. Don't love money, but be satisfied or content with what you have. For God has said that He will never leave you and He will never, ever, ever abandon you. Are you satisfied, folks? I think sometimes this discontentment that we experience has to do with I want more and we are convinced that I need more. And in reality, it's the enemy just messing with us big time. See, I know right now as I'm speaking, there are some of you in jobs and situations you're thinking, I am checking out. If I could, I'd get out tomorrow. You wouldn't even give you 2-week notice. But the reality is you need to check that first. It could just simply be discontentment. That's what it could be. Let me just tell you what I've learned about God. Most of the time, that's what it is. That's the reason people just bop around here, bop around there, here, there. And it's sad that when they reach their latter years, they're still confused. And usually by then, they become angry and cynical. Good Lord, I went to an auto place the other day. I probably needed to be warned where I was going before I went. I found myself trying to pay for a service there, but there were three men that got in such an intense argument over a gun issue. It got so intense. Now, some of you, you're going to preach at me and tell me, here's what I'd have done in that situation. I was so shocked. The Lord's name got used about five times there in just a few moments. I'm sitting here trying to pay and get out of there. By the way, I'm in a church van. Hello. These guys got to arguing and throwing profanity. I hadn't even heard that ever. Well, maybe once. And I realized, I sat there and I said, this is what happens to you when you don't put God first. And you get older in years, you're angry, you're cynical, you're mad at the world, you're mad at the government, you're mad at preachers, you're mad at everybody. I was sitting there looking out there, the van sitting out there outside this viewing, when I thought, Church on the Rock. That's where our world's going. But we don't have to go there. And if you will hear your pastor today, there is a place where we can be content. Sure, you submit and you commit your life to God. And when you find yourself disturbed about your job, what do? You pray about it. You commit it to God. You talk to Him and say, God, I am, you know, sometimes we think we're going to bother God. He knows the time we live in. And you are not an accident. And you commit that to Him and say, God, so-and-so is really rubbing me raw. And God will probably whisper back and say, yeah, I want you to pray for them. And I want you to love them. They're pretty mean and ornery, but I put them in your pathway. And He doesn't usually tell us this, but God sometimes puts people in our pathway who will knock a little of the rough edges off of us. Oh, I don't like that. It's true. Go ahead and bop around if you want to. He'll have two more waiting at the next stop, and they'll have rougher sandpaper, knock a few more edges off. And then if you move on, it multiplies every time you move on, and it wasn't God's will. Isn't it true? I looked at my little wife, and it made me think, you know, there's been a few times where we were sandpaper to one another. Some of you thinking, dear God, I just need a new man, new woman, need something. No, you don't. No, you don't. You tied the knot, it's done. Because you're going to go, and it's time again. Now, the Lord's telling me this all today. He says, move on, son. You're going to go out, and you're going to find the same rascal that you got before. You're going to be attracted. Do you know this is true? We think that next one's going to be, no, listen. You're going to go find somebody with the same kind of personality, and guess what? What a sermon illustration. If I'd have known I was going to preach on this, I would have brought some sandpaper today. I want to close with a verse today. Folks, I love you. Don't let anything I say condemn you today. Just realize God wants you to be content. And He will show you the future. If He has a move for you to make, if He has something for you to do, a deal to make, He'll show you. You just keep staying sensitive to Him. You do this, and I close with this scripture, and then I want to pray for all of us today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, and this is true today, as it was the day Jesus spoke it. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. There's a word for us this week on how we can live contented. Amen. I want you to stand this morning. I want to pray for you. I want those of you joining us by the internet today, I want you to join in with us, and we want to pray for you. Those of you joining us by way of the radio, God bless you. We thank you for participating in our service today. But I want to include you as well. I'm going to pray right now for the strength of God to rise up in us. And folks, listen, I'm going to tell you like I told that young man. Man, he said, just going to church, it just ain't my thing. Can we all relate to that? Come on. Sometimes the preacher doesn't feel like getting up and going to church. I said, it's beside the point. It's a habit. I said, okay, you don't want to go to church? That's your business. I was in hopes I'd get them to the truth where then they'd realize what they need. I said, get this book out. And I happen to know they were given a book a few years ago, Good Reading Bible. So you remember that Bible you were given? Get that Bible out. Start reading that Bible. Get centered in the Word. Because I know if we'll get this word in us, we're going to do everything God tells us. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that, Lord, this word will drive out discontentment in any heart or where it might be residing in our lives, Father. Father, cause us in Jesus' name to be content in what you have given us. Help us to have faith when it's time to move on to a new position or a new job or a new situation. Lord, give us the courage to do that as well. Lord, help us not to go to the other extreme and live in contention and not move on in the will of God. But Father, I say and declare over this congregation, you are our provider. And if we will seek you and just build some relationship with you and not worry about the barns, not worry about the bigger savings account, not worry about all these things that we worry about, you will take care of the rest. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said this morning, and we're going to go out of here today, and here's what I encourage us to do. Regardless of what you've been going through, now change the words. Change what you've been confessing. If you've been talking problems, talk peace and prosperity and blessing. Tell your spouse, hey, God is not going to leave us, and He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to abandon us. He's going to help us raise those kids. We don't know how they're going to get to college, but God will take care of that. Amen? And so you be sensitive to God, and He will tell you what you need to do, and He will direct you. Come on, let's give God a faith praise right now. A faith praise. Come on, give Him a faith praise.